Reading liner notes, talking to aficionados and library research, guided artists Leanna Leslie's collection of portraits of jazz musicians. They're on display now at Theatrical Outfit in conjunction with the outfit's production of Simply Simone, about Nina Simone, which opens next week. And Leanna does her portraiture in needlepoint. I spoke with her about the craft and her discovery of jazz. What attracts you to needlepoint?
I don't ever remember not doing needlepoint. I learned how to needlepoint when I was a little girl. I think my mother and my grandmother thought it would be something that would help me be less ADD, ADHD. I was a big, huge talker and a jumper and a runner and a all over the place all the time. And I think they thought this would be something that would help me sit and accomplish. And it became a bit of an addiction. I mean, there was this feeling of accomplishment and completion. And my grandmother made a deal with me that as long as I would completely finish each piece that I was working on, she would buy me a new one. It was just a great deal that she had with me. And now I have that work ethic of finishing what I start, not being distracted by other things and staying on task.
We associate needlepoint almost exclusively with women. Have you encountered any men who engage in needlepoint?
I am so glad you asked me that question. One of my biggest influences was my next door neighbor. His name was Bob Kane, and he was a pilot for Delta, and he needlepointed like a crazy person. And my mother needlepointed, and his wife Linda needlepointed, and many people needlepointed. I grew up in Rome, Georgia. It's a small town. Needlepointing was, pretty popular. But Bob would, he needed something to do. I mean, he was on flights a lot and on layovers a lot. And I have never seen such beautiful needlepoints in my life. And I think they were probably more beautiful because he was a man. And it was just such you just don't see that very often.
Yeah, a creative outlet that maybe men thought wasn't open to them. A lot of people don't quite understand the distinction between art and craft. Why do you think needlepoint is an art form?
I think anything that requires a level of creativity and planning and thought and experimentation is an art form. And I don't use painted canvases. I don't use the canvases that other people have painted. I completely design my own. So for me, it is an art form.
Would you tell us about the history and the culture that surrounds needlepoint?
Well, needlepoint, it used to be needlework. Back in the day, it was really about survival. I mean, it was really about using fish bones and thorns and cording and making tents and clothing. And it wasn't until the invention of modern-day steel, which was around the 1850s, that people actually could start to create art with needles and yarn. I mean, they actually could adorn things, and it was much more about making things beautiful and less about necessity, although the things that they were making were items that were useful, like chairs, pillows, the things that everybody associates with needlepoint. And for me, the reason that I want to needlepoint portraits is because I want people to see needlepoint as a modern form of art. And I think that the jazz music that I typically needlepoint brings a modern edge to a really old school idea and makes people look at it and say, well, I never expected that. And I like the idea of combining the two. To me, it's the ultimate paradox because you've got this quiet, alluring, beautiful, methodical, stitching that's mixed together with this sort of unrestrained jazz that and the two together just seem to bring out the best in each other.
When did you start doing portraits of jazz singers?
Well, when I first started doing portraits, I decided I wanted to needlepoint my daughters, which was a stretch. I didn't know if I could do it. I had no idea. And when I realized I could, I thought, all right, where do I go from here? I have to do things that are recognizable. I have to do images that will make people look. And obviously flowers and those kinds of things have been done and done and done. And the portrait was the way to go. So for me, the idea was musicians. And I did a number of juried shows just to get exposure. And one in particular that I did 2 or 3 years in a row was the Southern Roots exhibit at the Birmingham Civil Rights Institute. And I won it a couple of times. And the third time I entered, they offered me my own show. And then they said the scary, scary word, jazz. And I just, the thought of being responsible for telling a story about jazz music was just overwhelming. I mean, that was scary to me. And they recommended that I go speak with Dr. Frank Adams, who was the director of the Alabama Jazz Hall of Fame and also one of the founding members of the Birmingham Jazz Heritage Band. And I met with him for about 45 minutes in his office. I walked in his office. He put on a Art Blakey album, and he just started just talking to me with this enthusiasm that was so contagious. And at the end of and I was taking notes on a legal pad, and at the end of the 45 minutes or so, he said, well, if you decide to do this jazz show, I'll be here for you. You can ask me any questions. You can come back anytime. I'm usually here on Tuesday mornings. And I said, I'll see you next Tuesday. And I went Tuesday after Tuesday after Tuesday and just furiously took notes and listened to everything he told me. And what he was telling me was about the music side of jazz music, you know, the complexities of the way the music is arranged and performed and recorded and, you know, those kinds of things. And as time went on and I got deeper and deeper into jazz music, the story of jazz became very important to me, the history of America and the struggle that jazz comes from and the really not so pretty part of who we are as a country. And from that, this music came. And it's been there for us through all of it. And it's just America to me. And I want people to see the beauty in it and learn from it and, you know, maybe not make some of the same mistakes.
On display next to you, I'm looking at a very impressive needlepoint portrait of a man holding a trumpet. Tell us about it.
This is Erskine Hawkins. He was nicknamed the 20th century Gabriel, and he's from Birmingham, Alabama, which is why I needlepointed him. I was drawn to him, and his most famous work is Tuxedo Junction, and he was one of the great old school trumpeters before Louis Armstrong, well, around the time of Louis Armstrong, one of the great trumpeters. I think Louis eclipsed everyone, but I wanted to bring Erskine to life for people.
Do you listen to the music
Yes.
of the subject you're
Yes.
needlepointing?
Yes, and I learned that from Dr. Adams. I knew that in order to do justice, because at that time I was a jazz beginner, and in my mind, it was a heavy load to have to understand jazz music and tell the story the right way. And I knew that by listening to the music that I would maybe get that music in the canvas somehow and that it would come out in the eyes and in the expressions on the face. And in the meantime, I was learning what I needed to learn so that I could talk about it down the line.